Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. One of the star contenders at this year's Oscars comes from the novelist and playwright Florian Zeller. His film The Father, featuring Anthony Hopkins as the titular patriarch, is nominated for 6 Oscars, including Best Picture, Best Adapted Screenplay, and Best Lead Actor for Hopkins. It's a story told from a rare perspective, that of a man caught in the spiral of dementia. When we meet Anthony, he is elegant, seated in a substantial flat in London. His daughter Anne, played by Olivia Colman, who also earned a nomination for her role, tells him she's moving to Paris to be with her new lover and he'll need help to live independently in his home. He's outraged at the idea. Later on, he sees Anne but doesn't recognize her. This time, Anne is played by actress Olivia Williams. And the apartment he swears is his seems to be Anne's, or is it? When he asks Anne about Paris, she doesn't know anything about it. In fact, she already has a husband. And on it goes. Anthony and us viewers are trapped in the not-so-fun house of mirrors that is his deteriorating memory. We are inside Anthony's mind while things that used to be clear become increasingly more confusing. Reality isn't quite what it appears to be. IndieWire's David Ehrlich called the film entrancingly different, brought to life by a handful of brilliant performances and some very impressive sleight of hand. When I spoke with writer-director Florian Zeller back in February about The Father, I began by asking about the film's origins as a play and what Florian had hoped to accomplish in a film that wasn't possible in the stage production.
Actually, what I didn't want to do was to film a play because I think it was not very exciting, and I wanted to do what the cinema can do and what only the cinema can do. And as you said, I wanted the audience to be in this very unique position as if they were in the main character's head. So I wanted the father to be not only a story, but an experience, you know, an experience of what it could mean to lose everything, including your bearings. And I thought that the cinema could make it a more immersive experience.
It is a movie that now I want to go watch it again after finishing it, because I know I will notice and see things earlier on. I'm sure that it's a different film the second time around. Have you had people say that it's a different film?
Yes, I think that there are many things to understand the second time, but it's not because it's not done for that. The thing is that I didn't want the audience to see me in a way. And I just wanted the audience to experience with their own feelings, you know, because as you said, there are so many changes and so many metamorphoses on set, for example, so that you don't know where you are exactly, because you recognize the space. This is Anthony's apartment. And you believe that you know where you are. But at the same time, there are some slight changes, you know, talking about the proportions, the color, the pieces of furniture, so that you recognize the space. But at the same time, you're quite not sure of where you are or where you're not anymore. And it was a way for me to use the set to play with this feeling of disorientation. And it's true that the second time, probably you're trying more actively to notice, you know, how it's built, this labyrinth, because I wanted the film to be like a labyrinth. And it was, you know, a way to, the audience has to go through it in a way to experience this slice of dementia. You know, I wanted to tell the story from the inside and not from the outside, and because I thought that it would be a more compassionate experience and a more disturbing one as well. Mm-hmm. And
you've been very candid and honest about growing up with a grandmother who suffered from dementia. Mm-hmm. What is something that you know from that experience that you were able to incorporate in the script?
I think that it's true that I was living with my grandmother and she started to suffer from dementia when I was 15. So I knew a bit what it was to go through this painful process. And including for the one who is just caring for the people suffering, meaning that I knew what it means to find yourself in a position where you are impotent in a way. You love someone, but love is not enough in a way. But I also knew that it was not about myself. You know, it's not. I didn't want to make that film to tell my own story, because everyone has a grandmother or everyone has a father. And everyone has or will have to deal with this painful dilemma in a way, you know, which is what do you do with the people you love when they are starting to lose their bearings? And it's the reason why I really wanted to make that film. It was to share those emotions. And this is what happened when the play was on stage first. You know, I was really moved to discover the response of the audience, because people were waiting for us after every performance, not to say congratulations, but just to tell their own story, to share their own story. And I realized that it was something cathartic about it, just to remember that we are on the same boat, you know, that we share the same fears, the same experience. And I think that there is a consolation, and a beautiful one, and a real one, just to remember that we are not just individuals like that. It's that we are, you know, part of something larger than ourselves, and that there is something like a fraternity, even in pain.
Mm-hmm. My guest is Florian Zeller. We're talking about his film, The Father. Let's listen to a clip. This is Anthony in what appears to be his daughter Anne's home, speaking to a new caretaker, Laura, and his daughter about what he thinks is happening. This is from The Father.
You see, the situation is very simple. I've lived in this flat for some time now. I'm extremely attached to it. And I bought it more than 30 years ago. Can you imagine? You weren't even born. Yes, it's a big flat, very nice. It's very big. And I've been very happy here. Anyway, my daughter is very interested in it.
What are you talking about?
You see, my daughter is of the opinion that I cannot manage on my own, so she's moved in with me ostensibly to help me with this man she met not long ago, just after her divorce. Yeah, has a very bad influence on her, I have to tell you.
What are you talking about, Dad?
So now she would like to convince me that I really cannot manage on my own, and the next stage will be to send me away, I don't know. Obviously, it'll be a much more efficient way of getting hold of my flat. But it's not going to happen that way. Sorry, dear. I may as well tell you now. I'm not leaving this flat anytime soon. I'm going to outlive you. Both of you. I don't know about you, but my daughter, yes. In fact, I'm going to make a point about it. I'm going to inherit from her, not the other way around. And the day of her funeral, I shall give a little speech to remind everyone how heartless and manipulative she was.
I'm so sorry about this.
Why? She understands perfectly. You're the one who doesn't understand.
That's from The Father. Anthony Hopkins plays Anthony, and he gives a very moving, authentic, sometimes heartbreaking, frustrating performance. Did you have him in mind for the role from the start?
Yes, from the very start. Yeah. I wrote the script with him in mind. That's the reason why the main character's name is Anthony. Mm. I had this conviction that he would be so powerful and extraordinary. And especially because, you know, we know him through all his roles as, you know, this man, very intelligent, always in control of the situation. And I thought that it would be even more disturbing and powerful to see that man precisely losing the control, this very familiar man with us, to us. And but also, you know, I didn't go to him to ask him to do what he's known for, in a way. Mm-hmm. The challenge was to explore a new emotional territory, and in a very fragile place and vulnerable place. And it was the challenge. And in my opinion, it was really brave, because he went to that place with so much energy, generosity, I was really blown away by what he's done in the film.
In the film, it's, for me, at least, this is why I want to watch it again, it's unclear about Anthony. Is he actually a cruel person? Or is this the disease? Is the cruelty of the disease coming out? Is he actually a soft person? Is he actually... So when you think about who Anthony was before the dementia, did you think about that as you were writing the script?
A little bit, yeah. I mean that I think that we have enough to understand that he was probably a powerful character, you know? Mm-hmm. And he had to deal with the fact that he's about to lose that control, that power on reality. And that's the reason why sometimes he's going through rage, cruelty, as we just saw. But it's probably the disease or the frustration connected with the disease that pushed him to go to those places. But where I wanted to lead to is somewhere else, you know, in a place, in a very simple place where he looks like almost like a child, you know, crying for his mother to come and help him.
Yeah, there are a few scenes where, to your point, it's not how you're used to seeing Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah, exactly. It was the challenge for us. And for the audience, you know, you could have many questions, but some of them are without any answers. Because, you know, I saw that film as a puzzle in a way, and I wanted the audience to be in an active position. This is something that was really important to me. I didn't want the audience just to sit and watch a story already told, but to be part of the narrative, to be actively committed to it, and to play with all the pieces of that puzzle to try to make it work, to try to make it meaningful, and, you know, to question everything, and that scene, is it before or after, and that character, who is it really? Exactly. But it never works entirely, because there is always a piece of that puzzle that is missing, and there are too many contradictions, even in the narrative. And so that the moment comes when, in a way, you have to accept that your brain is not capable to understand everything, and you have to let it go, as the main character does, by the way. And when you do that, when you let it go, you can understand the whole story on a more emotional level, and, yeah, on a more simple level.
My guest is Florian Zeller. He's the writer and director of the film The Father. There are two reoccurring, I want to talk about some of the writing and the filmmaking now. There are sort of two reoccurring visual cues, a watch and doors. Mm-hmm. First of all, Anthony keeps misplacing his watch, and it's infuriating to him, and he's obsessed with his watch. He's obsessed with what he thinks is his wife's husband's watch, or was his wife's husband's watch. What did you want to explore about time?
You mean this film is not linear. Mm-hmm. And in a way, we have lost, when we are going throughout the film, the linearity of the time. And it's very disturbing because, it's like a labyrinth. And Anthony himself is in this labyrinth. And so he's trying to find something to, you know, some bearings, and the watch is in a way the symbol of the time and the coherence of the time, and so he's looking everywhere for that watch, but he cannot find it anymore. And also it was a playful situations, you know, because it was a bit funny in a way, and because we wanted to explore all the possibilities of the emotion, and sometime, you know, even if this disease is very sad, you have some very playful or strange or funny situations. And talking about the doors, it's true that the set was really, as I said, like a labyrinth. And I remember when I wrote the script, I drew the layout of the apartment almost in the first place, as if it was one of the main characters, because I wanted to use that set cinematically to tell that story. You know, when you think of adapting a play into a script, the first ideas you have is always to write new scenes outdoors to make it more cinematic. But here, I really wanted to stay in this apartment, even though it's an apartment that is constantly evolving. But in order for that space to become like a mental space and to use it in a cinematic way, and there are so many corridors and doors to create this feeling of being in a labyrinth.
And for us, the viewer, when we see the front door of the apartment open, we don't know who's coming in. We don't know, or when he opens the closet, is it going to be a closet? Is it going to be something else? It's just the sense of, that's the point where we as the viewer are as confused and on edge as Anthony is. We've talked so much about Anthony. I do want to talk about Olivia Colman's performance as his elegant and dutiful daughter, who is clearly torn over how to take care of her father. What did you want to explore and write about caretakers who find themselves in these situations?
Yeah, I think that caretakers are the real heroes, you know, nowadays. And Olivia Colman, she has something special. She has something magical about her. Is as soon as you see her, you love her. I mean, in real life or on screen, she, you know, you feel empathy with her immediately. She has this humanity, very special humanity. And it was important for that film because it's not only the story of that man losing his bearings, it's also the story of his daughter facing this situation. And I really wanted the audience to, you know, to feel empathy with this character, because it must be so difficult to be in this situation. You know, she's a loving daughter, she wants the best for her father, and but she doesn't know what should be done. You know, is she allowed to have her own life? Is it the time to put him in institution? She is in that moment, very painful moment, when you are becoming, in a way, the parent of your own parents. And it must be so difficult to make those decisions. So it was not about, you know, having to tell what she should do or what she should have done, because there is no right answers. It was just about exploring this dilemma, this painful situation. And by the way, I think that cinema is not a place for answers. It's mm-hmm. is a place for questions, to explore those questions. And there is room for the audience to for those answers, because everyone comes, you know, in a theater with his own history, his own sensibility, and his own way to feel and understand such a story.
That was my conversation with writer-director Florian Zeller about his film The Father, which is nominated for 6 Academy Awards, including Best Picture and Best Adapted Screenplay.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.